China has the largest gender imbalance of any country in the world. While it's improved in recent years, the 2014 sex ratio at birth still stood at nearly 116 boys for every 100 girls, far higher than the 107 maximum considered normal. The Chinese government has been working to decrease the massive gender imbalance, aiming to drop the sex ratio at birth below 115 by the end of this year, but a report from China Daily suggests this goal may not be met. Tegan Farrell reports on the impacts of China's gender balance.
Dr. Jean Golley, Associate Director at the Australian Centre on China in the World at the ANU, says there are a number of factors contributing to the imbalance.
You have a country where a preference for sons has existed for a very long time. They're certainly not the only country in the world to have that preference. In fact, just about every single country does exhibit a son preference. If you add to that what we call a fertility squeeze that comes in China's case through restrictive fertility policies, then in one sense you can't blame an individual through their cultural preferences for wanting to have a son. The problem is that when everyone makes that choice and is able to make that choice, then you're going to have a big problem.
Dr. Golley says the gender imbalance has economic impacts.
Consequence of having too many men in a society can be linked to what those men are going to do in their spare time. This is a link made by some Columbia University academics suggesting that a rise in the sex ratio would lead to or has led to an increase in property and violent crimes in China. In some modelling work that I did, we took that idea a step further and suggested that a rise in the sex ratio would decrease labour productivity, since you can't very well be productive when you're out committing crimes, and this productivity decrease is most likely to hit the least skilled workers or male workers in the economy. So there are productivity impacts of having high gender imbalances. If you think about gender imbalances obviously affecting the gender structure of the population, they also subsequently affect birth rates. If you don't have as many women, then you don't have as many children down the track. And so that has implications for the size of the workforce in the future. But those sorts of impacts take a long time to trickle down. So it's not really the economic consequences, I think, that are that serious. It's more the social consequences of having some 30 million unmarried men who are looking for a wife and unable to find them.
Dr. Jean Golley from ANU. Maya Wong, Human Rights Watch Asia researcher, says these social consequences are serious.
The impact is mostly felt among kind of the poorer people and also people living in the rural areas, because richer men generally could afford to attract wives and take mistresses and so on in China with their wealth. But with rural men, they can't really find a wife. And Chinese societies remain very, very traditional culturally. For a lot of Chinese people, kind of propagating the family line and having children is basically the first thing that they must fulfill as an adult. So for a lot of families and men in the countryside without a wife, that's kind of like a big humiliation. So in order to fulfill that role, they would have to somehow find a wife in China, where there aren't enough women to go around. So in some parts of China, they would buy women from even poorer places in Western China or even from Southeast Asia, like Vietnam. So there is trafficking of women both internally within China and also across border.
Maya Wong from Human Rights Watch. Dr. Jean Golley says there may be at least one positive impact of the gender imbalance. Household savings have increased as single men save more of their income to make them more attractive in a competitive marriage market.
Because there are too many of them, they need to be competitive in that regard. And I think that's particularly true in China, where there's a lot of pressure on women to marry well. So the economic implication is high savings rates. Now, that then feeds into both the domestic economy. It pushes up rates of investment and supports economic growth. So it actually has a positive economic benefit. And if you push it to the extreme, as some people have tried to do, it spills out into the global economy as well. China's high savings becomes, for example, foreign reserves invested in the United States. and has been a contributing factor to the high rates of credit in the global economy in the past. If you accept these findings of Sheng Jinwei, that the increase in a gender imbalance has had a positive impact, a savings impact. As far as he's concerned, that impact is very large. But that is certainly not a reason to support high gender imbalances. There are far more important consequences.
Dr. Jane Golly from ANU. Maya Wong from Human Rights Watch says the Chinese government's actions on the gender imbalance aren't enough.
So the government has been implementing policies like banning gender determination of fetuses when women are pregnant and so on to make sure that people don't abandon girl fetuses. But that's really kind of just addressing the problems at the surface rather than kind of the deeper problem in which is both kind of cultural biases for boys, which in turn is the result of gender discrimination in China and also the restrictive family planning policy. So what needs to happen is both the complete removal of the restrictions on family planning and also an empowerment of women in Chinese society.
Maya Wong from Human Rights Watch, ending that report by Tegan Farrell.